I hope that you'll grab your Bible and look at it and follow along with me as we look at it. So you can take your Bibles. If you don't have one, there should be right in front of you there in the pew. I want you to all see what we're looking at. If you can go to 1 Peter, go to 1 Peter in chapter 1. We are just in the first chapter, just kind of started it with a couple messages. And you find yourself there in 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 10, 11, and 12. This evening. And again, if you were in Discovery Bible Study this morning, which I want to encourage you all to be at, it's a tremendous time in a small group where you get to discover God's truth and figure out practically as a group how you can obey that truth and then go out and share it with somebody else. And my friends, I want to tell you, for one of the first times in a long time, we have, and what my opinion is we have discipleship going on at our church every week. I really believe that. And that we need that. And I think that it's happening right now, not necessarily on an individual basis, but at least on a small group basis. We have some discipleship taking place. And I'm trusting that in the days to come, it's going to turn into also evangelism. And so we need all three. We need the discovery part. We need the obedience part individually. We need to obey the truth, discipleship, and we need to evangelize. And so some of the key elements to a local church in which we have. But why are we here? Why do we exist? I want everybody that's sitting here this evening to think through this. Why does our church exist? You know what? Churches are scattered across our country. Churches are scattered across the world. And what's the purpose of the church? We have a lot of things. You know, there's a lot of churches that are based off of ceremony, and we just do this. It's a bunch of good people getting together and singing songs and reading the Bible and being good people. The Bible. The Bible is a good news of salvation. You know, there's not a lot of good news out there today, is there? What do you think? Do you turn on the television or open up the newspaper and read lots of good news? I don't think. I don't even really follow the news much right now because, in my opinion, there's a lot of discouraging things. So much going on that I say, what in the world? But I want to tell you something, there's hope, and that's not the news. The news of the Bible is not in a certain president. The news of the Bible is not about a group of people that are meeting at a church. The news of the Bible isn't about so many things, being a good person even, honestly. A lot of people think the Bible is just how to be a goody-goody, you know, and how to do this right, you know, so that you can be accepted of God someday. Honestly, folk, that's against what the Bible says. I know some of you are like, got big, you know, eyes, and like, what? What are you talking about? You know, the Bible's not how we can be good people. Well, there's a lot of it in there, but that's not the point. Tonight, I want to look at the point that is here. Honestly, he's talking about salvation. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and look at this passage. We're in 1 Peter chapter 1 and find verse 10, okay? Find verse 10. Now, we know that Peter is writing to this group of people. And you say, what group of people was he writing to? Well, there's a group of people, and you look in verse 1 of that first chapter, we see Peter, an apostle of Jesus, to the strangers. You understand what a stranger is? A stranger is somebody in a foreign land. And it doesn't have to be even in a foreign land. They're with a group of foreign people. Maybe that their customs and their cultures are different. They feel like an oddball. They're different from these people that are surrounding them. Yeah, they were strangers. And so Peter is writing this message. And by the way, Peter's writing the message, but who really is this message from? Peter is being used by who to write this message? God, through the Holy Spirit, is sending this message. Folks, can I tell you this? What you're hearing tonight from God's Word is not some good words from a preacher. What you're hearing tonight is not just some good words from an apostle, Peter. Yeah, he wrote it, but under the inspiration and direction of God and the Holy Spirit. This message that you're going to hear tonight is from God. God to you. And I want you to take it that way. God to you, okay? So when you read it, this is God speaking to you tonight. Peter is writing to a group of strangers, a group of people that are going under persecution. You remember Nero wanted bigger and better, so he burned Rome down. To the ground. He wanted to build a better place. The people get skeptical. Who does this? Nero has to come up with some sort of a plan of who he's going to blame it on because he was the one that did it, and who did he blame it on? Well, the easiest group of people to blame it on was the Christians. They were already underdogs. They were already not liked too much. And so he blamed it on the Christians, and therefore the people, the heart of the people in Rome and the surrounding areas turned towards the Christians. The Christians had to scatter around. They find themselves in some places that are listed there in verse 1, and they're scattered around. They find themselves not only in a foreign place, but with foreign people, foreign religion, foreign customs, foreign cultures, and they were considered strangers. Now, we've looked in the last couple of weeks how sometimes we can even feel like strangers in the world that we live in today. It's not our home. It's not this place. And we praise the Lord that one day we get to go to heaven and be with Him, and that is our home. And we find ourselves now in verse 10. Peter has been talking much about salvation. What does the word salvation mean? Anybody know? Salvation. It's another word for the word deliverance. It's to be delivered or rescued. To be delivered. Have you ever been delivered from something? You know what? We look at the word salvation as a very spiritual word. But you know what? Honestly, the word in and of itself doesn't have to be necessarily a spiritual word. Have you ever been delivered from something? Maybe been delivered from an animal that was going to get you. Maybe you were delivered from a disease that you had and you were delivered from it. Maybe you were delivered from somebody that was upset at you and they were ready to, you know, beat the living daylights out of you. And you were delivered by somebody. I don't know who you were delivered by. But probably most of us have a story of some sort of deliverance at some point in time in your life. You were delivered from something. You were rescued. You were pulled out of a place and you were taken to another place, a place of refuge, a place of safety. This message that Peter writes is a message of deliverance. How to be delivered. How to be delivered from, listen to this, how to be delivered from the power of sin. You know, we live in a world that is sin-stricken. People are under the bondage of sin. They feel a slave to sin. They feel like they got to keep going on in this lifestyle of immorality. Keep going on the lifestyle of the drugs and alcohol and things that they're attached to. Maybe even the sin of being so attached to the world that they got to keep buying and buying and accumulating and getting this and getting that. And they're attached to the wickedness of the entertaining world that's out there that makes fun of the things that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for to deliver you from. And people out there are under the bondage of sin. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something, that Jesus came to deliver you from that. He came to deliver you from the power of sin and the place that it's going to take you. Where does the Bible tell us that sin is going to take us to one day? The Bible says that sin takes people to hell because we choose to follow. You ever study the Word of God and study the Bible concerning hell? What a terrible place to go, a place of everlasting and eternal punishment. Weeping, of gnashing of teeth. Doesn't sound like a place that I want to be at. Anybody that tells you that they don't care if they go there simply doesn't understand the truth of the Scriptures. The Bible says it is appointed a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We're going to stop right there for just a moment about salvation, and I want to start with an illustration. My message tonight is a great day to be alive. You say, preacher, what in the world? This is not a great day to be alive. In fact, you just started off with how wicked this world is and how so many things are so bad in this world. Can I tell you from this passage, it's a great day to be alive? Let me explain just a little bit. Have you ever had somebody... And those people that I was talking to this morning in DBS, taking the Brubaker spot, they heard this a little bit. Have you ever had somebody ask you, what era of life would you choose to live in? And we could go around the room, and I could say, Skip, what era would you live in? You know, and I don't know what Skip would pick. And then I could go over here, and I could ask, you know, Ken, what would you live in? Some of you would pick the Cowboys and Indians, you know, of this, and I would just love to be involved in that. And some of you would like to pick, medieval times, and some of you would like to pick whatever, and you'd go back. Some of you would say, I'd love to live when Jesus walked the earth, and you'd pick all kinds of different times to live in, and some of you would say, I'd pick today, you know, and I love today. What era would you love to live in? And I'm not going to go around the room and ask you, okay, because that's really not what we need to learn about tonight, but some of you have this time period in your life that you could go back and you would say, I would love to live in this time. I want to tell you this evening as we look at this passage, along with Peter, even God himself tells us that of all days, this is a great era, a great day to be alive. You're scratching your head and say, why? All right, let's look at this passage. Now, notice in verse 10, what does the verse start off with? What two words? Of which? All right, when you hear those two words, there has to be what? If somebody just walked up to you and started a conversation and said, of which, what would you have to do? You'd have to go back, right? You'd have to say, of which, what are you talking about? Fill me in on what was before. So, of which tells us that he's talking about something just mentioned. He's talking about this deliverance, this salvation, the inheritance that all of us, if we trust in Jesus, will get. He goes back to that salvation. And so he's talking about the wonderful salvation and heritage that we have through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, I'm going to open it up to you tonight. All right, what does the Bible tell us about every one of us in this room? What does the Bible, actually it's more than just this room. What does the Bible tell us in the book of Romans, chapter 3, about everybody that's ever lived on the face of the earth? What does the Bible say, somebody? Okay, we're all sinners. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, I could ask a question. How many of us in this room have sinned? Now, what percentage should I get of raised hands? 100%, because all of us have sinned. The Bible says so. But you know what? More than even the Bible saying so, I think all of us would attest that we're sinners. I've sinned. I've sinned many times. We're sinners. We do things that go against God's law and His Word. We go against Him. This morning we talked about that iniquity. We go away from Him and we choose our own thing. We do our own thing. And there's many kinds of sins that represent us here tonight. Many sins which we have committed. We are all sinners. Everybody in this room, every person on the face of the earth is a sinner. I'm talking about the wonderful deliverance in which God has given. Okay, so we're sinners. So we go from there and we continue to read the book of Romans and we get to chapter 6 in the same verse 23 and it tells us something about we as sinners. What does it tell us in Romans 6:23 about our sin? He says, for the wages of sin is death. Okay? So we are sinners. And by the way, we're sinners by choice. We learned that this morning again. We chose to sin. Yes, you say, Pastor, doesn't the Word of God teach us that we're born into sin? You know, we're a son of Adam. Sin was passed down to us. Yes, but we chose to do it ourselves. It was a personal decision. I like to please myself instead of God. And so we sin. Now this passage in Romans chapter 6 says, for the wages of that sin, that earning of that sin, you understand what a wage is. You work, you earn it, and you're given the money. It's not because your boss just loves you so much. Now, he might, she might, but you got it because you earned it. You put in the hours, you already agreed to a certain wage, and they gave it to you. You earn it. The wages of sin is death. When you sin, when you decide to go against God and do your own thing, when you decide to go your own way and do whatever it is, to covet, to have, you know, bad thoughts or to do things that you know God says no, when you choose to do that, and we all do, when we do that, we're going against God, we're doing our own thing, and that's called a sin. And what we're doing is we are earning death. For the wages of sin is death. We're working for hell. That's kind of an odd way to look at it, but that's really what the Bible says we're doing. We're working for hell. The world is actively working for eternal punishment in the lake of fire. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but it doesn't end there. But the gift of God, and you see the gift, that a gift is different than a wage. A wage is something we earn. A gift is something that we do not earn. It's grace. It's something that is given, not by anything that we've done, but purely because out of love we receive it. The gift of God is eternal life. Through what? Going to church, through being a good person, through raising a good family, through giving money to the poor, through, is that what God says? Actually, that's not anything. He says the opposite of that. He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through not the church, not our work, not putting money in an offering plate, not being a good parent, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, it's your salvation is not based upon you. It's based upon what Jesus has already done. Isn't that a blessing? It's not based upon what you've done. Do you realize so much of the world in religion bases their religion is, hey, you want to go to heaven? You better work like crazy to get there. And you better hope that last day when God calls you to either one of those places, they say, you better hope that you were a good person that day. You know what? I'm so glad that that's not the way it is, because half the time I'm not that good person that I wish that I was that day. But that's not the way to salvation. It's Jesus Christ, what he did. The famous verse, most famous verse in the Bible probably is recorded in the book of John. Do you know what it says? John chapter 3 and verse 16. What does it say? Quote it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that good news? Basically, that verse says this. Listen, you can't earn it, but I've got a gift for you. God says, I'm going to send my Son Jesus, my only begotten Son. I'm going to send him to die on the cross for you, to pay your penalty, like we talked about this morning, to pay your penalty on the cross. He is going to go in your place on the cross so that you don't have to go to hell, and he's going to give you his place right next to God. And above you, above your name, is holy, righteous, and just. He's going to trade places with you. Isn't that an amazing exchange? It's amazing. You say, preacher, how do I get it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever what? Believes. It doesn't say that whosoever works really hard, goes to church, pays money in the offering plate, raises a good family. That whosoever believes. It's called faith. It's called trust. It's willing to take what Jesus did for you and accept it for yourself. I'm a sinner. I'm going to go to hell. I want the gift. And you've got to take it. You've got to take it. You've got to receive that gift. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, I want to ask you tonight, have you ever called upon the name of the Lord? Now, if you haven't, you need to. So that when your time comes and you die, you can go to heaven. This is what Peter's writing about. The wonderful salvation. Now let's get back into the passage. So that's the salvation that he's talking about. He wants everybody to be excited about. So he says, of which salvation. So now you know, he's talking about this wonderful thing that Jesus did for us. Notice he said, the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa, 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 preacher, I understood all the words that you said before until you started reading. It lost me. I know. And to tell you the truth, when I started reading it, first of all, when I was getting ready for this, I thought, that is a load of words right there. What is this talking about? Well, let's go ahead and finish verse 12. Unto whom it was, it's a lot more hard words, but just bear with me. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. And you're like, okay, that didn't help anymore. All right. I want to go through this. I want to make it as simple as possible. As I told my DBS class this morning, which was the Brubakers that I took, I told them there's four groups of people that are mentioned that have something to do with, not necessarily that they did something, but are involved here or at least interested in our salvation. Can we name those? All right, first of all, you look back in verse 10. Who is it mentioning first? Once you look down, look at the passage. What is it saying? Who is listed first in having to do with this wonderful salvation? First of all, it lists who? The Old Testament prophets. You say, what's an Old Testament prophet? We have men like Isaiah back in the Old Testament, which was obviously God did not just, he didn't just have some, all of a sudden woke up one day and all of a sudden he knew everything about salvation. No. In fact, He didn't really understand all of it, but God, through the working of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, worked in Isaiah to give him some things so that he knew about something that was going to come. But I'll tell you, Isaiah never truly, really understood everything about salvation, because Isaiah wouldn't even be alive when Jesus Christ would come. And so he was cut back short a little bit. But did you notice the words that were used about Isaiah and Jeremiah and all those prophets? What did it say they did? Go ahead, look down at your copy of the scriptures there. What did they do? They inquired of. You know what? That word inquired of wasn't mean they just kind of like, I'd like to learn a little bit about that. No, that word is like, I'm going to dig into this. I want to understand this. What else does it say about it? They searched diligently. You know what? You say, what were they searching diligently? I believe the very things that God gave them. The very words that they were supposed to write down. They wrote them down and they were like, what is this? But they asked questions, they researched, they studied, they wanted to learn. They wanted it because they treasured this salvation. God used these Old Testament prophets to write passages of Scripture just like we went through this morning. You remember Isaiah 53? For he was wounded for our transgressions. We looked at the next verse and we saw how even though we like sheep have gone astray and we've turned everyone to his own way, yet what did he do? Wow. Yet the Lord made him, you know, to lay the iniquity on him, to bear it all for us. You know, it's amazing. But yet the prophets searched so diligently. You know, the old prophets gave us so much of the grace and salvation to come. We see that this gift was to all mankind. Yes, to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. Isn't that an amazing thing? I could ask how many of you are Jews in here, and there might be somebody who has Jewish descent. But I'll tell you that for the most part, we're considered Gentiles. Are you grateful that the gospel went more to the Jews than to the Gentiles? Praise the Lord that God, through the prophets, gave the message not only for the Jews, but to us. We could look at the book of Romans that refers back to Hosea, the prophet, that says, I will call them my people, which were not my people. Talking about the Gentiles. And her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass in that place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people. There shall they be called the children of the living God. Right there is where we get to go. That person who Jesus died for, that person that's accepted, gets to be one of his children. And I don't have to be a Jew. That's a blessed statement right there. God has done it for us. That's what this salvation is. And the prophets wrote about it. The prophets wrote about his suffering. We already looked at Isaiah chapter 53. The prophets wrote about his triumph that he would get when he would rise from the dead and he would rise in glory. Psalm chapter 2, Isaiah chapter 9. You remember Isaiah chapter 9? Referring to Jesus. His name shall be called. And all those names that is given to him. I want to tell you something. The prophets knew about this salvation, and they wrote about it, but I don't think they understood it wholly and completely. Go back to your passage, which we're looking at, verse 10. But I want you to skip ahead unto, look at verse 12. He's talking about these prophets, and he says, unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto who? Us. The first group of people that it's talking about are the prophets. The prophets listened to God. And by the way, the second individual, I say there's four listed in this passage. The first one is the prophets. The second one is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit worked in these lives to help them to understand, for at least to write it down, so that we could have this message of salvation. So God used the prophets. God used the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit is God. He used the Holy Spirit. And it says here, again in verse 12, unto whom, okay, so it was revealed to these prophets, but it wasn't for them, not unto them, but unto us they'd administer these things. So God gave you the prophets. I want you to think.